Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In book one of On Free Choice of the Will, one of the topics that Augustine addresses with his student Evodius is the relationship between the virtues, and here he has in mind the cardinal virtues, and what he is calling the good will. And there's going to be sort of a reciprocal relation between these two, so that the virtues play a central role in how it is that the goodwill is configured, how the goodwill maintains itself. And he tells us at one point, this very nice formula, when his student asks, well, what is a goodwill? He says, a will by which we do three things. And one of these is to live virtuously, live in accordance with the virtues. The other two are to live rightly, which is, you know, largely a synonym here for living virtuously, although we might parse it out further. And then he says, a will by which we seek to reach the height of human wisdom. And wisdom is also going to be connected with the virtues. We're not going to talk about that too much here because we want to focus specifically on the virtues. He also tells us two other things a little bit earlier than that in the dialogue. One of these is that whether or not we have and use the virtues, that is something that lies within the power of the will. So it's not as if we're just naturally prudent or brave or just. There could be some tendencies in that direction, but that's not yet having these virtues, and quite likely whatever natural impulses we might have due to temperament could easily be corrupted if we're not thinking about this in terms of the will and its function of choosing or committing itself, or if you like, prioritizing goods over each other. So whether or not we're virtuous lies within the power of the will. He also tells us that if we're understanding things in the proper framework, we can see that virtue is actually more powerful than vice, and it's preferable to vice. Now you can say, well, in that case, why are people ever vicious? And we'll come to that in a moment. First, though, we need to think about what the virtues actually are. And to those who are familiar with the cardinal virtues from other frameworks, perhaps those of Platonist or Stoic or even Epicurean discussions of the virtues, these four will be familiar to them. They are prudence, fortitude or bravery or courage, you could say, temperance or self-control, and justice. So he leads his student through discussing what these actually are. And so let's look at each of these in turn. He says, consider whether prudence seems to you to consist in knowledge of what to seek and avoid. So prudence or practical wisdom is a type of practical knowledge that we have of what it is that we ought to choose or select or pursue and what it is that we ought to reject or avoid or be averse to. Now you could say, well, it must rely on having some knowledge about these things, and that's quite true. And, you know, traditionally this virtue has been seen as the one which helps us to get past mere rules, to think in determinate cases, well, what's actually good for me in this situation, or what's good for a human being in general in this situation, and so how should I act? And prudence is what does that for us. So it directs us towards the good, or it chooses between an array of goods, the greater good, and tells us to pursue that. Fortitude, or courage or bravery, fortitudo, right, in Latin. Here he picks out one particular feature instead of looking at some other traditionally ascribed features of that virtue. He says, fortitude is the state of the soul in which we despise all misfortunes, all bad things that happen to us, and the loss of things not resting in our power. So it's a capacity for going on, for resisting, for not giving in. And there's other ways in which fortitude has been expressed as well. Temperance plays another very important role. And here he says something quite interesting. He says, temperance is that state of soul which controls and checks desire in regard to those things which it is shameful to desire. So traditionally, the virtue of temperance or self-control would be looked at as applying to, say, sexuality and sexual desire, or the desire for food, or the desire for intoxicating substances. You know, the ancients usually talked in terms of drinking and wine, but we could think about getting high in many other ways as well. So temperance is what helps us to structure our desires. And when it encounters desires that we have for things that are shameful to desire, things that we ought not to desire, like not just having sex in general, but having sex with somebody we're not supposed to, or in ways that are far too, say, public or something like that, it would say, no, no, don't do that. It would resist that. And say, maybe I can't stop feeling that desire, but I'm not going to give in to it. Or similarly with eating. If you're getting upset because the waiter brings out your meal and it's not so perfect that you'll leave a wonderful review on Yelp, you're intemperate. And temperance would say, hey, knock that off. The food is just fine. Eat it up and then get out of there and leave a tip, right? Instead of leaving a bunch of complaints. Very commonplace scenario. Justice, he says, what else are we to say about justice? Then that is the virtue by which each person is given their due. And Evodius, the student, says, yeah, that's what I think about justice. So justice is what leads us to giving everybody what it is that they deserve. That could be rewards, or that could be benefits in return, or that could be a fair distribution, or that might also be punishment as well, if they actually deserve it and we're the right person to give that. Now, he goes on and he asks, the person who has a good will, are they going to have these virtues? And he says, can we suppose that a person who actually has a good will is not endowed with prudence, who sees that this good, that is the goodwill, should be sought for and everything avoided which conflicts with it? So this is specifying prudence and saying the person who actually has a good will realize that they ought to more highly prioritize or value that goodwill above other goods. Fortitude as well is going to be important. He says, why should we not grant him fortitude? He cannot love and value highly all these things not under our control. If we do, then they're loved through an evil will, and he's bound to resist an evil will as the enemy of his most precious good. So when he loses these things, like say you're faced with a situation where doing the right thing is going to cost you some pleasures or some security, so desire or fear are at play, the person who actually has fortitude is going to say, yeah, I'm going to take the goodwill, I'm going to take, in this case, justice, over giving in to these desires. What about temperance? So he says, can we deprive him of temperance? This is the virtue that checks passion. What is so opposed to a goodwill as passion? Hence, you can understand that the person who loves their goodwill resists their passions by every means and fights against them. Therefore, they are rightly said to have temperance. And now it's no longer just about the honorable, but it's a bit more, you could say, across the board. And then finally, justice. He says, I don't see how such a person can lack this. If they possess and love to possess a goodwill and resist what is opposed to it, you cannot wish evil to anyone. It follows that he harms no one, and this can only be the case if he gives to everyone his due. So we could raise some issues here about punishment or resisting evil, you know, by, say, killing people. But Augustine talks about that in other places, so I'm going to sort of gloss over that here. So all of these virtues are going to be present in any person who actually has a goodwill and who values and loves that goodwill. This leads us to thinking about how these could be lost as well. If you don't use the virtues that you have when you get into difficult situations of temptation or forced choice or difficulty, then that would be a sign that one doesn't value and decide to keep that goodwill. Instead, one decides for some other thing. And that would be acting in a vicious way, and that's a good way to lose these virtues and to thereby also abandon or lose that goodwill in the process. process. But so long as a person decides that, no, having the goodwill is what matters most to me, they will be able to develop and use and probably enhance and consolidate, you might say, these four cardinal virtues, which then help them to keep the goodwill. They make those tough decisions a little less tough, maybe even into what we, you know, sometimes facetiously call no-brainers, meaning you don't have to think that much about it. Because if you see that the goodwill is what is truly valuable and living virtuously is part of that, you're going to want to behave in that way. And eventually it becomes, as Aristotle had said so long ago, second nature. So that's the relation here between the four cardinal virtues and the goodwill. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.